The Lord of the harvest is calling for laborers to in his field. To gather the sheaves are the carries, when mercy no more is revealed. We bask in the sunlight of glory, of heavenly manna we're fed. While souls are the ocean in darkness, are starving for life-giving bread. They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide. The Savior has
the mission trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. Let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4:35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Leslie. It is indeed a pleasure to be back with those who listen to radio station XEG. This is the Mission Trail broadcast of Guthrie, Oklahoma, and of course, your speaker, Willie Murphy. We indeed count it a privilege to come to you each Friday night by means of radio. If you're listening for the first time, we welcome you to our audience of those who listen regularly, and we hope that each of you are well and happy in the Lord. In recent weeks, we've been discussing seven things which the Lord hates, as found in Proverbs 6:16-19. We've considered the first two as mentioned here, which are listed as a proud look and a lying tongue. Now, I would like to read this scripture again. I quote, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and the hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." Today, let us quickly notice a few of the highlights from this scripture, and I hope that we can complete it with this broadcast. We should remember that the taking of human life is a very serious offense in the sight of God. Much more is this true when it is innocent blood. Then the fourth thing mentioned here is wicked imaginations. You may have heard the expression that imagination is the greatest nation on earth. Well, to some extent, this is true. For one of the things which create a real problem for every child of God is to bring his imaginations into subjection to the will of God. And speaking of imaginations and warfare, look what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 3-5. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Here we see the constant warfare which a successful Christian must wage in order to be victorious in his experience with God. Notice this part of verse 5 which says, "Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Remember now, God hates wicked imaginations. Let me assure you that if you can overcome and master your thoughts and bring them into obedience with the will of Christ, that good works will follow as surely as the day follows night. The fifth thing which the Lord hates is feet that be swift in running to mischief. I am sure that it would be a different world in which to live were this scripture taken at face value and obeyed. Not nearly so many police officers would be necessary to maintain order if each in sincerity of heart endeavored to avoid running to mischief. The sixth thing concerns a false witness that speaketh lies. This would surely take us back to the item which was listed as a lying tongue. No wonder so many times we hear of certain people brought before investigating committees and they invoke the Fifth Amendment for their own protection. Were the truth known, no doubt many of their lives would be honeycombed with wickedness and deceit. Therefore, they are not in a condition to speak the truth. There is not nearly so much danger of becoming entangled in the narration of certain events if the truth is strictly adhered to. But once a deviation from this is made, it is hard to predict what the outcome will be. I would like to very strongly urge our young people to give good heed to this admonition. Speak the truth, even if it seems that you may suffer because of the truth. The seventh thing, which is the last mentioned here, is not necessarily the one of least importance, for it mentions he that soweth discord among brethren. We should bear in mind that God hates this evil with all the others listed in this same scripture. I believe we would do well to notice this scripture in Acts 20 and verses 28 through 30. I quote, "Take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." Friends, God's word teaches unity. It is not his will or design that his body or the church be broken up into small groups and divided among themselves. Many times the reason for such division as this is because there are those who seek to draw away disciples after themselves, not regarding the Lord's body. Then those who stir up and make trouble should forsake their evil ways and endeavor to make peace between God and their brethren. I hope that these seven things which the Lord hates will linger in your hearts and cause you to live in such a way that you will have nothing to be ashamed of. Now, let us briefly give you a little glimpse of Brother Carver's missionary journey to India, which I am sure many of you have been following very closely. Listen to his voice now as he spoke to his newfound native friend in Bombay, India.
Max was telling me his problem. He had nine children and was having a hard time, you know, and wanted me to pray. So I said, shall we pray right now? And he said, yes. So we bowed our heads and prayed. For the Lord to bless him and work out his problem. And while we were praying, the door opened and the Hindu man came out.
They don't say anything.
Well, he did. When he saw us praying, he said, "I have been back here praying for somebody to help me."
Just think of it, friends. Here, God was using one to witness for him in that faraway city of Bombay, as he met people of different walks of life. Imagine, if you can, the joy of witnessing for Christ to one who was a Hindu and had been praying for help. But this opportunity came only after Brother Carver was seen praying for another in a public souvenir shop. At another place in India, he met a certain evangelist, Brother Daniels, and enjoyed fellowship with his family. Would you like to hear what a song entitled, O My Soul, Let Me Exalt Thee, Let Me Exalt Thee for the Goodness That Thou Hast Done for Me, would sound like when sung by a 12-year-old girl in the Indian language? Then listen to a little part of it. Yes, there you have this gospel song by a little girl in this great land of India, where there are millions without the knowledge of sins forgiven by the blood of Christ. Think of the great need for young people to consider the fields ripe for the gospel. Let us pause for a moment of prayer. Our Father, bless everyone that is listening to this broadcast today, and may it serve the good and useful purpose of causing them to launch out into the work of God. Bless those who have waited so long for thy word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here then is a song by Margaretta Kennedy and Dixie Hand, I Don't Know About Tomorrow.
I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow.
Yes, friends, think how true this is. We don't know what tomorrow may bring.
But I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty. But the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood.
This message has been brought to you by the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. If you would like to have a printed copy of today's message, you may have one free of charge by sending us your request. Until next Friday night at 11 o'clock, this is Willie Murphy speaking for the Mission Trail and saying, may God bless you richly and a very pleasant good night.